Chicago. This is your morning routine.
Put some respect on my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We're bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out. 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 Bring them out.
The winner of this one will play Miami in South Florida. Levine and one. Levine off the curl, guarded by the shorter Van Vliet, raises up and knocks down the mid-range jump shot. They send Levine baseline. He gets around it. DeMar on the cut and the punch. Say it with your chest. Here's Levine. Wow, he pulls for a three. Got it! Zach Levine coming alive in the second half. Levine going to work. Tough pull-up. Wow, man. He's hotter than fish grease. Zach Levine having himself a second half. Van Vliet fires the three off the mark. And this one is over. Chicago is headed to South Beach.
And welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We got Shay. We got Jay Moore. We got you for a three-hour ride in this Deal Breakers Thursday. What open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thanks so much for watching the show and all the shows here on ESPN 1000. And it happened yesterday, Cap, in Toronto, on the road, hostile environment. Not just one set of fans, two sets of fans in Toronto, outside and inside. And the Chicago Bulls, 40-42, going to this play-in game. You're thinking that this is going to be the end. This will be the last time we see the Bulls. And all of a sudden, they find a way, down 19, to come back and win the game 109-105 against Toronto.
You know what the amazing thing is? We've seen this team come back from big deficits and blow big leads. Part of what the NBA does.
Yeah.
I was at the game. You remember this 2 weeks ago when they were 23 down to the Grizzlies and blew them out.
Yeah.
They never quit. They just, I think, are a poorly constructed roster to win a championship. Those are two different arguments here. I'm watching that game last night, and I'm amazed at the number of people who should know better in an NBA game throwing in the towel and taking, just firing on Twitter. I'm going to read you one or two of these.
Sure.
This guy tweets, extended the head coach in secret, chose continuity, again at the deadline, waited till deep in the buyout market to get a point guard, get ass beat in the play-in. A head has to roll here.
Okay.
I tweeted back and said, win in the play-in.
Mm-hmm.
He comes back with reverse jinx. That was Norling.
I'm undefeated. The reverse jinx is undefeated.
No, actually, we're good, Shay. We're good. For a tournament that you don't care about, an NBA you don't care about, let the basketball people talk. Go ahead, Cap. What else do you have?
I get another one from a fine listener who's telling me, Peter, our guy from Miami, waiting to hear you go off on this piece of blank team in the front office that needs to go, and I'll be listening tomorrow to ask Hoodie about his the Bulls will win take. Folks, this is what the NBA is, and the Bulls never quit. You got to give Billy Donovan props because they made some really good adjustments last night. Defensively, that team played as connected as I've seen. Zach LaVine played like a different player last night, attacking downhill to the degree that he did. Even DeMar said after the game, my guy was on a heater. I had to get the ball to him. Mm-hmm. Like, DeMar was getting opportunities for his mid-range and giving it up. Giving it up. That team had a compete level in the second half that was impressive. Does it mean they're going to win the NBA title? No. But in the context of what we watched last night, that was a hell of a lot of fun.
Well, it's no surprise as veteran observer of the basketball scene that the Bulls were able to win yesterday. Again, they were 5.5-point underdogs, and they deserved that. Vegas gave them what we've been seeing all season, and that's less than mediocre basketball. At 40-42, it says all you need to say. I just knew internally that the Raptors have some issues, and that the Bulls, if they shot the ball well, and if they played the defense that we've seen in the second half, that the Bulls would win the game. And they won the game. The distinguishing characteristic of that game is not Zach LaVine. It's not DeMar DeRozan. It's not Vucevic.
I know.
Is DeAr DeRozan. Because DeAr DeRozan, the daughter of DeMar DeRozan, she's my MVP. She's the reason why the Bulls won that game. There's nothing like the youthful exuberance of a young child watching a game and feeling like, if I scream loud enough, I am going to help my team win. We all went through this as kids. If I wave my arms, or if I cheer real loudly, if I stomp my feet, I'm going to get a chance to help my team win. And by the way, that's not just with young people. That's adults, too. You'll get jackaloons like me and Cap and everybody else that's listening right now that will scream and yell. They'll pound their hands against the glass. They'll pound their hands against the glass at Hawks games. They'll say what they need to say against the opposition just to feel like that you're part of the team, feeling like you're going to help them win. Well, DeAr DeRozan, how fantastic was she, Cap, where it's one thing for the Raptors to miss free throws, but every time that the Raptors are going to the foul line, more times than not, they're missing your foul shots, and little DeRozan's yelling right before the free throw, trying to distract him.
It was awesome.
So awesome.
I believe I have this stat right. That's the first time since 1969 that a team shot 50% from the free throw line in a win-or-go-home game.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, they were horrific from the line.
36 screams from young DeRozan, 18 free throw misses. 36 screams from her, 18 free throw misses. Now, again, is there a correlation? Yes and no, tongue in cheek. But it's fun. Because when people say, oh, I can't believe that she was doing all that screaming. Can you believe that? Well, you know what? There's adults that do the same thing. They're not throwing out of games. It's just part of fandom. And she's part of fandom, too.
You've called as many basketball games over the last 30 years as I have.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands. Have we not seen? You've seen this, where they'll hold up posters of beautiful women in bikinis.
Yeah.
They'll have those thunder sticks that they'll wave them.
Yeah.
It never works.
No.
This young lady was awesome. And then after the game, DeMar said, she's got to go to school. She will not be in South Beach on Friday.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. You're telling me we either can't do the class remote, or she's going to class, and then we get her on Jerry Reinsdorf or somebody's plane and get her down there. Game's at 7.
She begged and pleaded because he did not want her to go from home, which I believe is Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
I believe she's going to school in Los Angeles to go to Toronto. We're not going to fuel up the PJ for you to go to Toronto, hon. You got to go to school. Please, Dad. I want to help the team win. I want to be there to support you.
How about her outfit? She's all dressed in Bulls gear. Like, the whole family's all in on this. It was really cool.
That's about a $5,000 jacket.
Yeah, no question about it. But when you make
bedazzled,
when you make $200 million in your career or whatever he's made, you can afford it.
Yeah.
I thought that was really, really cool. And then watch the replay of he and Zach doing the interview with Cassidy Hubbard.
Mm-hmm.
And she comes over, tries to hug him, and he's soaked in sweat. She's like, ugh.
Yes.
Yeah. Dude, it was just so good.
It's just funny. And again, she's no different than many of us as fans. Mm-hmm. Getting into the games, like, I'm going to make sure I distract these guys. When they're on my end, where I'm sitting, I'm going to scream and yell and help my team win, help my dad win. I mean, she was, every time the Raptors went to the foul line.
Particular game, if he steps the wrong way or something.
Visit to Florida State. Asked me, what did you, Patrick said, I was down for whatever Coach Hamilton. Underrated passer, doing a nice job.
In terms of the total number or the quality of shots, I'm comfortable.
Tell me, life is really good for him right now. He's in a good headspace coming in.
Guy who the handle is maybe not as
tight. A 20-point advantage.
This guy thinks he can do more offense.
Now, what's interesting about that is that, of course, DeRozan, still beloved, by the way, in Toronto for his days in the Raptors, there's not going to be a Raptors fan that's going to say, all right, that girl, because they still respect him there.
They love him. He said, there's the one thing before the game. He said this, today's what, Thursday? Mm-hmm. I lose track of the day.
Yeah,
Tuesday, Thursday. He said, they're never going to hate me in Toronto. They love me there.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And they respect DeRozan. It's just, to me, the whole thing was fun. But to get into the weeds and the basketball side, Cap. Okay, so what really resonated with me is the Bulls defense. Okay, that is Alex Caruso. That is Patrick Beverley, the tip of the spear as far as the perimeter defense
and
is
Williams,
concerned.
And Patrick and Williams. Patrick Williams was outstanding defensively, and Caruso and Beverley.
Well, you like him having the balls to say, you know what? All right, Siakam, let's go. Top of the key, let's go. Let's defend. I'll defend you on the perimeter, utilizing his wingspan, his length, to be able to slow down or stop those shots or the passing ability to get inside.
So in the first half, I'm watching. First of all, Zach started slow, wasn't making shots. Bulls are not getting opportunities from three, and when they did, they weren't converting them. And they made the switch at halftime. Caruso's trying to guard Siakam, and Caruso's an excellent defender, one of the best in the league. Siakam's going up over the top of him.
Yeah.
And he had what, 20 in the first half?
Yeah.
He's on his way to a 40-some point game. And they switched Patrick Williams, as you just said. I got him.
Yeah.
Did a really good job at getting into his body and forcing him off his spot. Look, Siakam's a really good player. Really good. Career high average in points this year.
Yeah.
But I thought their defensive connectivity, and when I say that, I mean, it's not, I got you, and Shea's got Jay Moore, and whatever happens. No. You have to be able to, I got you, but I'm going to help you if you get beat. Like, that takes a lot of practice. I was really impressed last night. Great adjustments. Great game.
Cap and I have so much more to talk about this game as the Bulls win the first play-in game against the Toronto Raptors, 109-105. Bulls win last night was DeMar's daughter, the MVP, DeMar DeRozan. Was she the MVP? Also, does last night count as a big moment for Zach LaVine? Let's get your phone calls in here, Shay. 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our phone number. Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
If you miss something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Bulls win last night over the Toronto Raptors on the road, 109-105 in the play-in game. They'll take on Miami next on Friday, another team that's, they're not very good this year either. This is why you have the play-in game. These are the teams that are the dregs, are barely in playoff contention. Like Miami's that, Oklahoma City's that, the Bulls. So this is a winnable game also for the Bulls. It depends on what they want to do. You interested or are you interested in Cancun? We'll find out on Friday.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch it. I'm going to be with my son, Brett. He's calling me last night after, Dad! Hey, I know we were going to do this. He and I are going away up in Wisconsin, just the two of us.
Yeah.
And, Dad, can we watch the Bulls on Friday? Of course we're going to watch the Bulls. Like, all jacked up. Like, we're going to the championship.
And, again, for perspective, we know what this is. It's a play-in tournament. It's just money for the league to be able to have extra basketball on before we get to the playoffs.
You know, these stats do not count.
That's correct. These stats do not count. They're not. This is not regular season. This is not playoffs. It's that very odd gray area.
But, and I don't understand that. So hold on a second. Zach gets 39. Those points don't count on his career total.
Correct.
That's just stupid. It's an NBA game with NBA officials.
It's a play-in tournament. It's that in between, right?
Yeah.
I want to talk to you a little bit about this game in regards to, from Toronto's standpoint. Okay, so Toronto's up 19, and I'm sure a lot of Bulls fans thought, second verse, same as the first. We've seen this all season. So long, everybody, right?
No, I could read you 40 tweets that I've got.
Yeah. But here's what I really liked. I love the intensity of the Bulls defensively. I've been looking for this for years under Billy Donovan, and we were able to see this in a big way. We documented this in the last segment. But on the other side, Zach LaVine, and we got to give him his flowers today, Cap, because here's one thing we always know. We know he can score the ball. Water's wet. Of course he can score. But what I've been waiting for is for Zach to be able to put the team on his back and to be able to carry them in a big moment. And even this being a play-in game, and again, you and I know how this movie ends for the Bulls. Mm-hmm. He scored 39 points. Toronto's defense was a sieve from the foul line down. The ability for Zach or others to get to the basket, you know, Caruso gets to the basket, You saw this time and time again. You saw this from DeMar DeRozan with the mid-range. Toronto's defense was so bad that the Bulls were explosive going to the basket. And that's one of the reasons why the game turned in the favor of the Bulls.
I thought the adjustments they made defensively, swarming the way that they did. They played like, you guys don't win, there's a firing squad waiting for you. That's what they played like.
Your hair was on fire.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I was shocked. Shocked. Where did this come from? Now, I'm not expecting to see that for 82 games. No team plays like that for 82 games. But to see them rally the troops, oh my goodness. They were 19 down. 19. Do you know that the end of the third quarter, I went on and looked to see what you could get live betting the Bulls?
Mm-hmm.
End of the third, they were down, what, 9?
Yep.
Plus 1,400.
Mm-hmm.
And for those novices out there, that means bet 100, and if they come back and win the game, just win the game, they would give you back $1,400 in profit.
Damn.
That's a lot of money. I didn't do it. I bet the over in the game, and I got it by a point and a half.
The over and the Bulls straight up to win on the money line for me last night. And with the Bulls being a 5.5-point underdog, because, as I told you yesterday and told everyone, expect the unexpected from this team. Just when you think that they're supposed to lose this game, oh, they're not interested. Apparently they were interested. And Toronto was not interested. That's the other thing, too. They were helped by Toronto because, and you laid it out during the break, how is it that the Toronto allowed so many layups at the rim?
I could not believe
the dunks, too.
So we talk about defensive rotation.
Yep.
So Zach LaVine decides, and he had a couple pull-up threes, but he's going to attack downhill. And whether it's drive it to the rim, kick it back out, but he took that ball hard to the basket. Okay. Scotty Barnes, Siakam, whoever it is guarding him, he's going to beat you off the dribble because that's what he does. He's a very skilled guy. How is there no rotation over where a secondary defender comes over and tries to take a charge, tries to get a steal, at least try to give him not this runway to the rim? I was shocked by that.
Without you saying it, I told you before the show, my source within the Toronto Raptors organization.
It's a good one.
And maybe I should have shared this with you yesterday, but been watching this team, and watched a lot of teams in the East, but Toronto has got a lot of issues internally. The one thing we do know is Nick Nurse may or may not return.
Reportedly, he does not want to stay there.
And I believe that there's going to be some turnover in the Toronto organization. Masai Ujiri is a very good general manager. But when you've won one playoff series in the last four seasons
since
winning the championship,
yeah.
You got a problem there.
Yeah.
And so even though they have young, springy talent, and springy, I mean like Siakam, Van Vliet from Rockford, I mean, you got some good players, Scotty Barnes. It's just that it's not gelling well. And that happens, Cap, when you're kind of like in the middle or toward the bottom of the East as far as a playoff pitcher, and you don't have, you don't have a Giannis, you don't have a Jaylen Brown, and you don't have a Jason Tatum, you don't have an Embiid. This is what happens.
Correct.
You're good, but not really good.
Correct.
That's where Toronto is. That's where the Bulls are. So let's get your thoughts in here. To me, the MVP was DeMar DeRozan's daughter with her screams. She was the MVP. Also, does last night count as a big moment for Zach LaVine? 312-332-3776.
So I have the Toronto Star up on my computer.
Oh boy.
I always like to read the opposing viewpoint.
It's cutting, but I'm sure it's kind.
Dude, within the first, four paragraphs, short ones, they talk about how what a crushing loss stunned Scotiabank Arena crowd. And to do it all while the 9-year-old daughter of a former franchise icon was shrieking ahead of every foul shot miss. Wednesday was a night to add to franchise lore indeed. Blah, blah, blah. Nick Nurse talked about how hard the Bulls played and how they shared the basketball and made the right plays on offense. And then he said, if you go 5-for-10 from the line, not a big deal. You miss 18 free throws while she's shrieking? Dude, this is all in the article.
Yep.
She's 9.
Because Toronto sports doesn't win a lot, when they're in the playoffs or play in this situation, they expect a lot. And so that hurts them. you would, for you and I, it's like, well, of course, Bulls lost and they've underachieved all. For Toronto, it's painful. They're shutting down that city. You know that, right? Like all the shops, the companies, like, okay, day off. So long. It's like after an SEC loss in football.
Right.
We're going to shut down the city.
We saw the Jurassic Park, they call their area outside.
Yeah.
Holy cow, those people. That was a playing game, and they're packed out
there.
Care.
They
care. They do.
They're bereft of winning.
Correct.
That's the problem there. And so they'll take anything, any kind of victory. Yeah. And that's what it was. 1-2-3 Cancun for sure for Toronto. The Bulls are moving on. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. All right, let's go to the phone lines to talk to you. Bulls fans, we say hello to Jake in Evanston on ESPN 1000. Hi, Jake.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I love listening to your show on my way to work every day.
We appreciate you, man.
Yeah. No, so I'm absolutely amped up like you guys are about last night's win. Something that I was really nice for me about this win is because, you know, I went to that last, I don't know if you guys remember that Hawks-Bulls game at home.
Yes.
And, you know, they never, like, they just were so close. They could have cut it. They cut it to nine every time, whatever. And it was just really gut-wrenching loss because, like, they weren't playing together as a team. Well, guys, I think I've never seen, I was shocked like you guys. I've never seen them play together so much as a team. I cannot wait. I guess what I'm wondering on your guys' perspective is what it's going to take to win in South Beach, you know, in Miami. It's a tough place to win the playoffs, as we know, as they went to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. And I know, you know, it's one game at a time, but what do you guys think?
Well, before we answer that question, you saw DeMar DeRozan's daughter, right? How she was the difference maker?
Okay. I was tweeting about her all night.
All right. Can you scream like her?
Yeah, I'll try.
Go ahead. Outstanding.
Pretty good.
Great job.
Pretty good.
Jake, we appreciate the phone call. It is true. The defensive intensity was really, really solid for the Bulls. But again, as Cap will document for you, and he said many times in the show, since the All-Star break, the defense has gotten better.
They finished the season fifth in defensive rating in the NBA. And since January 1, that's a big sample size. Number one in the NBA. That's coaching and that's effort by the players. But one other thing he mentioned, how he was tweeting about DR, mm-hmm. DeMar's 9-year-old daughter. DeMar after the game. I haven't let it soak in yet, but I kept hearing something during the game, DeRozan said. Then there was one free throw somebody missed. I looked back and I was like, damn, that's my daughter. Awesome. Absolutely awesome. He said, you know, it's crazy. My daughter called me the other day when she was getting out of school, DeRozan said. She just said, Dad, can I come to the Toronto game? I almost didn't know because she's in school back home. She kept asking. She was adamant about coming here and supporting. I just said, all right, you can miss one day of school and come to a game. And I'm glad I did. I owe her some money for sure.
Zach LaVine with his thoughts on Toronto missing free throws.
I mean, it's one and done game. And, you know, obviously you want to give yourself the best chance and I'm happy they missed a lot of them. You know, I think we could do a better job of limiting the second chance points. You don't want to be put in that position where you're hoping somebody misses. But, you know, we stepped in, we made ours. So I'm happy with that.
DeMar DeRozan talking about Zach LaVine because they were sitting side by side in the press conference.
Man, amazing. You know, he carried us, was aggressive, downhill. You know, he put his will on the game. And we all followed behind that offensively and defensively. You know, that's why he is who he is. It was great. I knew it was coming when I seen his feet start moving fast. I knew he was going to get to being aggressive and getting downhill. You know, nobody could guard him getting downhill. We were making plays. Guys was locked in. You know, it was fun. You know, tonight was fun.
It's funny. You were talking about this last night, Cap. You were watching LaVine's feet.
Yeah.
What did you notice?
I texted to you guys.
Yeah.
His ability, like, I don't always see it. I think he's a better defender than he gets credit for as an on-ball defender. Mm. That's different than team defense. Last night, I'm watching him get banged around, and he's moving his feet where he's reading the play, and he's getting into the right spot. There was one, like, it was almost like in your lap, and he tried to move his feet, and they called a foul on him, and he was furious. I was really impressed with his looking, reading, understanding, and getting his feet where they had to be. I thought it was his best all around. Obviously, he scored well. defensively, I was really impressed.
312-332-ESPN, 332-3776, our phone number. Bulls win. We'll take your phone calls. You watch the game or listen to it. We want to get your thoughts on what happened. And also an emotional Billy Donovan. You'll hear from him coming up next. And your thoughts. Who's the MVP? We think it's DeMar DeRozan's daughter. We're talking about it right here on Cap and Jay Hood.
Here's today's headline with Cap and Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. Zach LaVine dropped 39 points yesterday, 30 of them in the second half, and helped erase a 19-point deficit in Toronto, making the Bulls the first 10 seed ever to win a play-in tournament game. They'll face Miami in South Florida on Friday. Cubs lost to Seattle yesterday by a score of 5-2. The Sox lost to Minnesota 3-1. Both teams had the day off. Tampa Rays will chase history this afternoon against Boston. The Rays won last night 9-7 to extend their start to a 12-0. Can you imagine? They could be 12-0. Can you believe this? They could extend their start to 12-0, putting them one win short of the best major league start to a season since 1900. Still better than the Tigers in 84. That's the best team start I've seen.
35-5.
Man. Tampa Rays looking to chase history. First pitch is at 12-10 for the Rays. Let's see if they can get that history as you are listening to Cap and Jay Hood. Jay Moore.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
And you know this, man.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
One win short of the best major league start to a season in 1900. Or 12-0 right now.
Incredible.
It's a great start.
It is.
Somewhere Dave Wills smiling at his old team, the Tampa Bay Rays.
Unbelievable. And they had 12,000 people last night. The other night. I looked, turned it on. I'm like, yeah. There's nobody there.
Yeah. It's the way it is.
They're moving.
Captain Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 at the ESPN Chicago app. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. We'll take more of your phone calls coming up. We need a little clarity about the reason why that Siakam was at the foul line at all at the end of the game.
Okay, so I called just from my days doing my previous life. I know some of the guys who officiate. So I was able to talk to somebody, and I said, explain that last call on Caruso. He said, there's absolutely a foul. But the foul was not administered properly. It should have been a foul on the floor, two shots. Now, I believe Billy still had his challenge. You can check the stats. I don't have them in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe he did. You cannot challenge continuation. That is not allowed by NBA rules. You can't say, I'm challenging that's continuation.
Mm-hmm.
But you can challenge the foul. He would have lost the challenge because there's clearly a foul.
Mm-hmm.
But during the administration of the review, the officials go to the monitor and they could say, okay, we actually have a change here. Chicago loses their challenge because the foul was called correctly. But the foul was on the floor. We can re-referee the play. Siakam gets two free throws. But that would have also taken, I believe, the final timeout from Billy.
Yeah.
That means if he makes all three, the game is tied.
Yeah.
You got to assume he's a 75% shooter that he's going to make all three. You got to assume that.
But just overall, though, Cap, that's just a bad call.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. But if you take the time, use the last timeout and lose it on a challenge, again, it's easy for us with the benefit of hindsight, to say we would have challenged it. He would then not have had a timeout, I believe, to advance the ball into the front court to get a game-winning shot opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't challenge it. Siakam misses at the line, and the Bulls win. It all worked out, but it was poorly administered by the referee.
312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number as the Bulls defeat the Raptors in the play-in game 109-105. Some thoughts from Billy Donovan on Zach LaVine.
I think the one thing that probably hasn't been spoken about enough, in my opinion, about him is, like, his summer was so unique. He signs this big contract. He misses four of the first eight games. He's really trying to get his legs back under him. There's a portion of the season where he's probably playing at a level that he's never been accustomed to playing at in a long time. and the work, the coming in at nighttime, the extra treatment, the physical therapy, working with the strength and conditioning, like just that he's going to get back. And just put his nose down and worked, you know. And, you know, I thought today, like, none of us out here are perfect, but his heart's in the right place, you know. Other things that he could get better at, and I could get better at, and DeMar and Booch and the rest of our, sure, everybody can. But I he's got a really good spirit and a good heart about him.
You know, thoughts there from Billy Donovan on Zach LaVine.
You know, that's really interesting to hear him say that. He misses four of the first eight games and then goes on to play 69 in a row.
Nice.
69 in a row and plays the third most minutes in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't hear about him coming in at the Advocate Center at night to get extra shots up, to get more treatment on his legs. Like, the dude is committed. He's a good guy. We always want more. We always do. Again, I hold most responsible the two guys in the front office. I don't believe that they put this team in the best position to win.
Absolutely. It's personal to me that you go through an offseason and feel, we'll just run it back. That's the thing that I can't stand, just run it back. Even if you're a championship team, you say, well, how can we get back there next year? How can we add to what we've already done? The Bulls, for the most part, just ran it back. Could put a couple of veterans on the team and said, let's go. We just need to be healthy. All I'm saying is that Zach LaVine can score. We know that. He was extra special yesterday in that play-in game. And again, all of this excitement or just interest in the Bulls because they beat the Toronto Raptors could all go the other way against Miami on Friday. I kind of not think so, Cap, because Miami's, they're not the Miami that you remember a few years ago.
They're not a great team. It's definitely a winnable game. Does it mean they're going to? No, but it is winnable.
Yeah, so let's go to the phone lines and talk to you. And again, with perspective, if you're just joining us, I think that Cap and I know how the story ends. I think most Bulls fans know how the story ends. You beat Miami, you go into the playoffs, and you know that you just don't have enough to be able to get over the top. But again, you know, was it David Allen, one of our great tweeters for you and I?
Yes.
He says, he said last night, he says, Hoodie, I don't know how to feel about this game. And I said, well, I know that we don't see a lot of playoffs or play-ins or postseason play around here. I'll take the wins as they come because I don't know. I'm a fan. That happens.
I was so entertained by the game last night. Again, tomorrow night we may go, that's it.
Yeah, sure.
But
because we know this team.
That 3 hours that I sat on the couch and I'm like, 19 down to this bum outfit? They're not that good. Wow. And then here they come. Like, you could see it.
Yeah. Hats off to the extra effort, though.
My wife's on a Zoom with her family every Wednesday. Her two sisters, her dad, they all get on a Zoom. The nieces, and they have trivia and they have fun. I'm yelling, and she's like, I thought the Bulls were getting crushed. We're coming back!
it's just the up and down of this season for the Bulls.
It was a lot of fun.
Same Bulls team that's never won more than three games in a row this season, where they found a way to beat Toronto. On the road, hostile environment. But thanks to DeMar DeRozan's daughter.
Particular game, if he steps the wrong way or something.
Visit to Florida State basketball.
She helped in a big way.
Yeah, and she's gone viral everywhere now.
In Dallas, Texas, listening on the ESPN Chicago app is Justin on ESPN 1000. Hi, Justin.
Hey, good morning. Hoodie, Cap, it's been a long time, but I figured, you know, I had to call. Work has literally been consuming my time. But that's neither here nor there. We won last night. I'm very happy. And Cap and Hoodie, I was one of those tweeters that I was watching the game last night while I was at work. And I was like, yeah, you know what? This is pretty much a wrap. I had some choice words that I tweeted about Mark Eversley and Karnišovas, but we're not going to get into that. The fact is, they won. Zach, I can't praise him enough. He showed now, I mean, this is the one game that it defined him now. You know, I know we still got a long way to go. I know this is a small piece, but I definitely feel like we can beat Miami. I know the energy around the city is crazy right now, even though it's just one game. I would give anything in the world to be there right now. But it is what it is. I'm definitely going to tune in tomorrow, even if I take a day off of work. you know, I love y'all, and I appreciate y'all taking the call.
Appreciate you, Justin. You're the man.
Justin, we appreciate the phone call. And coming up next, has Shea lost all faith in humanity? I think he has. I think we all will after you hear this story. That's next. Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
Okay, it's about that time. You're tuned in to the Cap and Jay Hood Show.
Everything ain't hardcore, you know.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Shot or No Shot comes your way at 8 o'clock right here on Chicago's Zone for Sports, ESPN 1000, and the ESPN Chicago app. I'd like to remind you, in 45 minutes, Deal Breakers. You never know what you're going to get from Deal Breakers. Make sure you're with us at 8:35 right here on Cap and Jay Hood. Okay, so, Shay, yesterday you go out and you go shopping. And by the way, with you going shopping, I saw what you bought. I was hungry for lunch after I saw the pizza you bought from Costco.
Always.
So, tell me what happened in your sojourn to the store yesterday.
Usually I go to Costco, any grocery store, really, and I have my headphones. I have the noise-canceling, like, Bluetooth headphones that I use. I walk around. I'm listening to ESPN Chicago. I'm listening to, it would have been Carmen and Yurko yesterday, or White Sox baseball. Mm-hmm. I'm listening to whatever I got going on. Yesterday, I left work, and I went straight to Costco because I wanted to get home in time to have White Sox on the app and watch the game. And with the 12:10 first pitch, so I didn't have my headphones with me in my backpack. So I was walking around eavesdropping on people and hearing things people are talking about at the store. And I'm walking by this, you know, they have the sample carts out.
Yeah.
So, one, this is a very odd thing to have a sample cart out. They had animal crackers on the sample cart.
Not cheese, not wine.
Right. Usually it's like either a beverage, you get a little cup, or like something they're cooking, whether it's like an air fryer thing. No, animal crackers. Okay, whatever. I haven't had animal crackers in a while, so I got a little excited. I took a little package and I had a couple. It was nice. But while I'm walking over to get them, this woman in probably her 70s, 60s, 70s, walks up to the sample cart and she's asking the woman about animal crackers. And this poor woman at the sample cart is answering all these questions. This lady goes, "So animal crackers, but are they safe for humans?"
Excuse me?
And my jaw hit the floor. I've never heard anything so stupid, respectfully, to this person. Why would they be putting animal treats on a sample cart at Costco, number one? Number two, how do you live to that age and you've never had an exposure in your life to animal crackers?
For those that don't know, and I think everybody that's living under a rock and otherwise should know that an animal cracker is a nice little cookie.
Correct.
Yes.
It's got the little, it's like a train car full of the different animals is like the thing on the side of the box,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You've seen this.
Yeah.
That person's actually walking around driving on the same roads that my wife and kids are on.
Yes. Yes. So as you're eavesdropping, what is your initial reaction, Shay?
Well, I was walking with my cart. So first I turned around, like, is she serious? And then I kind of hung in the area because I wanted to hear, like, if you're working and you're giving out animal crackers, how do you answer a person who walks up and goes, are they safe for humans?
Excuse
so
me?
I'm walking around listening, and this poor woman working the sample cart, she's like, yeah, well, of course they're safe for you. They're animal crackers. They're like little biscuits. They're cookies. They're just shaped like animals. Of course they're safe for humans. And I'm like, okay, that's probably going to be the end of this. No, no. This woman then goes, well, can animals eat them?
What?
And I swear, I'm like, are you trolling this lady? What are you doing here? Are you trying to be funny? But no, she's 100% earnest, serious. She's never heard of this, and she can't wrap her mind around it. This poor woman, she's going, I think they're safe. They don't have much salt. I don't think they have much cholesterol in them. I think an animal could eat them. I don't see why they couldn't. I'm like, lady, just spin this woman in any direction and tell her to walk. Like, what are you doing?
That's amazing to me. Like, didn't we grow up? I remember having animal crackers as a kid.
Are you sure this was not a filming of Impractical Jokers? Are you
right.
sure? Where's Murr? Is Murr around? Murr?
Right, like, I should have been looking for Ashton Kutcher. They're just punking this poor woman working the sample stand
okay.
at Costco.
Okay. Shay, I could simply just tell you that common sense is not common, but I think did that old lady, okay, I know this is going to sound harsh, surprisingly. Did she seem like she was with it?
I mean, no. Nobody, if you're asking, are animal crackers safe for humans, automatically check against you. I think you're a few fries short of a Happy Meal.
I mean, you can look in the eyes of a person to tell whether or not they're, you know, are they home or not.
She had, like, the hair was a little bit wild. It was graying. That's how I could tell the age. She's walking kind of slow. Yeah, it seemed like she might have been out of it, maybe losing her faculties a bit.
Okay, so they started these. They're called Barnum's Animal Crackers.
Yes.
Started in 1902. Current cookies are bear, bison, camel, cougar, elephant, giraffe, gorilla, hippopotamus, hyena, blah, 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 blah. To celebrate its 100th anniversary, the koala was added to the menagerie in September of 2002.
Okay. So the question is that do you think that she was punking that lady, or do you really think after all the years, he says that she was like 70?
She's an idiot.
You don't think
and
that
And I don't want a name call, but she, that's scary.
Cap, you don't think that she knew what an animal crack, I mean, it was in her era. Animal crackers in my soup.
She does not know.
Right?
There's no way that she's trolling her.
Okay. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. What do you think of that? Do you think that that lady really didn't know what animal crackers were? Cap.
It's amazing.
We had them as a kid.
Correct. We always said it was like a little cardboard box.
Yes. How's that happen?
Okay. She was on the Snoop Dogg and Willie Nelson train.
You think she was high?
Had to be. Come on, man.
I haven't had an animal cracker, though, in what?
Since we were kids.
40 years?
Yeah. Since we were kids, definitely.
Did they have any taste? I don't even remember.
They're always bland, but you put them in milk sometimes. That's what I remember about them.
You dunk it.
Yeah.
You didn't put the whole cookie in.
No, just dunk it, yeah.
Snarling, were they at least tasty? They have sugar in them?
They actually do. But like Hoodie said, they're kind of bland.
Well, they weren't the frosted kind. Like the frosted animal crackers, that's where the money is.
Oh, I didn't know they had frosted ones.
Oh, yeah. Those are the best. I used to get them when I was a kid. I'd get them in like school lunches. That's what's so shocking to me. I'm like, how do you get to this age and you've never had an exposure to animal crackers? It's not like they're great, but there's like animal crackers in my soup. I've heard that. Like everybody's heard of animal crackers except for this woman. I can't figure it out.
That's pretty amazing.
Dave in Crown Point, Indiana, on ESPN 1000 on Cap and J Hood. Good morning, Dave.
I hope you understand what you guys just did.
What happened?
Every poor lady at Costco's and every store in the United States, and it's going to be asked millions and millions of times of these poor ladies if animal crackers are safe for human consumption.
That
so I hope you guys unreal. Are happy by putting this on the air now.
Dave, do you understand how ridiculous that is? Are they are they safe? I mean, really? Dave.
It is so crazy. That is probably the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Unbelievable.
And the boxes, I believe, is a train, right? It's a little train box.
Yes, exactly right.
Yeah. And it's got a little string on it. You can hold it, take it to school, trade the lion for the dinosaur and all that stuff.
Right. There you go. It's exactly right. And it was based on Barnum and Bailey Circus.
Yep.
That's so good.
Oh, God. Wow. Well, but the sugar ones, those aren't the same company.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't think they're the same company.
Dave,
I want you to
I want you to share this at the job today, that story you just heard.
I'm definitely going to do it.
The best.
That's outstanding.
The best.
Ron and Joliet on ESPN 1000 on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys?
What's up, Sparky?
Hey, nothing much. I love your show. Hey, real quick, I know somebody. Remember back in the 80s, it was Gaines Burger. It looked like burger patties.
Yes, for dogs, and you'd break the patty up, and it would fall apart in the bowl for them.
Yes,
right, exactly. Well, I know somebody who her husband came home drunk, and he was talking a lot of stuff, and he wanted her to make something. So she actually took some of those Gaines burgers and made something and gave it to him to eat.
I remember that being advertised, actually.
Yeah, Gaines Burgers.
That's funny. We appreciate the phone call. We go to Harvey. Here's Luke on ESPN 1000 on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show. What's up, Luke?
Hey.
What's up?
I just want to say that it's not ridiculous that they think animal crackers are for animals because you got dog treats and they're for dogs. So animal crackers could be crackers for animals.
You're not in Harvey with that take, are you?
Yeah.
You're not really in.
I'm on my way to work in Harvey.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
By the way, the frosted animal cookies, they call them, those are made by Keebler. They're different. He's right.
Julio in Des Plaines on ESPN 1000 on Cap and J Hood. Hey, Julio.
Yeah. Could it be that Shay is just missing out that this is like a dad joke? I mean, he was wearing headphones or noise-canceling headphones or whatnot, right? So it's like a dad joke. So, like, are these safe for a human? I've had a million animal crackers. I think everyone has. But are these safe for human consumption? Sounds like a dad joke to me, or in this case, a grandma joke.
No, Shay had the headphones off. He was eavesdropping on the conversation, right?
I stuck around. She was 100% serious. And I also, like, Luke and Harvey, I was taking phone calls, so I couldn't answer.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't give out dog treats at the sample stand at Costco. You don't walk by there and see, hey, here's dog jerky if you want to give it a shot. You can't take your dog to Costco. Why would they give out dog treats? It's dumb. It doesn't make sense.
That's right. That's why I was wondering. Are you really calling from Harvey or someplace else? Because, tell me, Jay Moore, guys from Harvey understand the difference between dog treats and regular food.
Nah, man.
What?
By the way, the...
Nah, they do. I'm just kidding.
The Gaines burgers the guy was just talking about, those were discontinued in 1990. They were reissued, and the company's back open when a Chicago-based company, Devour Brands, in 2019, bought the rights. You can get them again. I'm going to buy them for Sparky, Yoshi, and Stanley.
In 2 minutes, we got Shot or No Shot, right here on Chicago's Home for Sports.